I stood there, looking up at Iron Boland, noticed his big hands were shaking. I didn't want to turn, but I had to see what was behind me. At first, all I could see was the fog, and it was coming at me like it was going to cover me up, but it didn't. I could have reached out and put my hand in it, but I didn't. I just stood there, looking into it like a TV between channels, you know? Static. That's it, like static. Nothing but gray. A busy gray, though, like bees humming. He swallowed, like it was alive and reaching out to me, even though I wasn't reaching back. His eyes welled, and he thumbed the moisture away with a gasp. Then I saw her, there in the fog. Not her, but the absence of her. It was an outline of that girl, Jeannie One Moon. And I could hear her voice. No words, just the voice. I glanced back at the tilled field as if she might have been there, seeing only the broken earth and the white cross on the fence. She was singing, and it was the saddest song I've ever heard. Cheyenne, so I didn't know the meaning of the words, but you didn't have to know the words to know what she was singing about. What did you do? I didn't move. I just stood there, listening to her, and after a while the singing began to fade, and she was gone. Climbing down, he handed me the mug, and we stood there eye to eye. I did some research after that, went over to the college and saw tapes of her doing interviews and playing basketball and volleyball. He walked past me around the huge tire and rested a hand on the treads and looked back at the field leaning down to the creek. I see her. I followed him. Excuse me? The part I didn't tell them white men. Hell, I don't even tell my wife. But she knows something's up because I neglect this field. He stood there for a long while before speaking again. I see her here. I said nothing. Whenever we have a warm day followed by a cold night, in the evenings, as if the sun is trying to pull her up from the ground before the moon can catch hold of her. He glanced over his shoulder toward the rising sun. But he never gets her all the way out, you know? He sighed and turned to look at me. I spoke with a Crow medicine man about it, but he didn't have no idea what I was talking about. I tried to forget about it, but every time the conditions were right, that fog would come up and I'd hear that singing. I dangled the coffee mug on my trigger finger and stared at the dirt. Me and Ella, we were having dinner over at the trading post, you know, Putt's place. I do. There was a woman I knew, Cheyenne, Esther Smallsong, one of those half-medicine women, you know, knows stuff even more than other women. He smiled. So I start asking her questions, and she just looks at me and says, Evoce, Eomese. All at once I felt that finger that ran up my spine. The wandering without, an all-knowing being, a black spiritual hole that does nothing but devour souls. She said that girl was singing, bring me back, I don't belong here, and I want to go home. He walked out into the field, gazing in that direction. I believe that thing has that girl and will not let her go. I also believe that if I'd reached into the fog that evening, that thing would have taken me too. Everybody thinks the dead of the night is the scary time, but it's not. The time of danger for the living is the time of change from day into night or night into day, when the world isn't sure what it is or what it wants to be. Looking over his shoulder at the white cross, I asked, Are you a religious man, Mr. Iron Bull? He turned to look at me and slipped his sunglasses back on, so all I saw was my reflection. I am now. Evoce, Eomese. Huh? That's what he said. The bear sat on the steps in front of the tribal police office, taking in the last rays of warmth before the angle of the earth changed and the high plains winter made itself known. You're sure that's the word Iron Bull used.
I am. And he got it from Esther Smallsong.
Artie Smallsong's mother.
The same, I readjusted my back, trying to find a soft spot in the concrete. Have you heard of it?
Yes, but not in a long time.
He turned his face to the sun and removed his sunglasses.
The wandering without is a term the old people use, and I have not heard it in a very long time. It is an entity used to frighten children.
A boogeyman?
Of sorts. It is also a plane of existence between the two worlds, the camps of the dead and the living.
Limbo?
Something akin, but not exactly.
How do you get away from it? He straightened and thought about it.
An act of extreme bravery must be performed by a family member or someone close to defy the Eva Hotse Homese. But there is risk involved.
What kind of risk?
The loved one must take the captured soul's place.
No paying the fine and going home?
I am afraid not. Boy, you Indians are hard asses.
I crossed my legs, glancing up to see Dog sitting in the passenger seat. There were far too many strays wandering around the tribal headquarters, and I didn't feel as though he should be engendering another generation.
I was north of the interstate, uneventful, although there was a young ranch wife who invited me in for the afternoon. But I did not feel it was an integral part of our investigation.
He turned to look at me.
Where is your undersheriff these days?